Thanks, Annalise. Most recent years, we've held what we call a newcomer's luncheon, generally near the start of the year. And for those who are newer to the church, they've come along and shared with us. And most times I've asked the question, what church background have you come from? And invariably, most people who are new to us here at Toowoomba North have not come from a Church of Christ background. In fact, I remember one luncheon where not one had a Church of Christ background. And we have people here this morning who grew up in churches that were very different to Churches of Christ. They were Catholic, Baptist, Uniting, Methodist, Presbyterian. We have people here who grew up in Charismatic or a Pentecostal church. But this morning, being Church of Christ Sunday, I wanted to talk about just two distinctives that we really value as being part of the Churches of Christ movement. And there are many different Christian denominations in the world, and they each have their distinct approach, practices. There are non-conformists. There are those who really love the Bible. There are those who really love the Holy Spirit. There are those who are pacifists. There are those who are bent on Arminianism and are Calvinists. There are those who follow Luther's teaching, those who hold that the Pope is the reigning authority. And so churches differ in theology, worship, in worship style, in their doctrine, in their structure, in their history. But broadly speaking, churches, Christian churches around the world can be, I guess, divided up into three different categories. There's the Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and Protestant. So where does Churches of Christ sit in all of this, in the mix? Ours is not another denomination as a part of the Protestant churches, although you might have thought that it is. The early founders of Churches of Christ lived at a time when there was a lot of conflict between the different denominations. I hope I'm not going to get tongue-tied on that one every time. Each denomination, I'm going to do it now. Each church was convinced that they alone had the full truth and that they didn't allow their members to associate with people from other churches in their town. Now, I don't know, I mean, some of you probably grew up in that period, because not only from way back in the 1800s, but right through to 1950s, 1960s, churches held that their church was the only one that was right. My grandfather was like that. Different creeds, traditions, and dogma meant that people often denied communion or baptism or sharing the ability to come into their church if your theology wasn't right. People would exclude others. It led to people being excommunicated and, for many, generally turned off God and religion. So against this background, one of the founders of Churches of Christ movement, Thomas Campbell, was reading Jesus' last prayer, as we've heard part of it this morning in John 17, and he stumbled across something that he hadn't really noticed before. And in Jesus' prayer, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved me, loved them even as you have loved me. What Thomas Campbell noticed here, for the first time really, was that Jesus prays that the disciples may be one as God is one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that the world might believe in him, might believe in Jesus. And Jesus seems to say that people will form their understanding of Jesus based on what they see portrayed in the people of God. People will form their understanding of Jesus based on what they see as portrayed through the people of God. And if the people of God are at odds with one another, exclusionary, argumentative, and mean-spirited, then the world will rightly think that God is divided, mean-spirited, and exclusionary. And this really stood out for Thomas Campbell. And he looked around his neighbourhood and he saw that people were indeed getting the wrong idea about God. And at the same time, Christians were not at all focused on the mission because they were too busy arguing with one another about my theology or your theology, my doctrine or your doctrine. And he could see that in order for people to get back focused on mission, that he would need to find some common ground to bring unity into the churches. There needs to be common ground. And the only common ground that he could find was in the Bible, was that of a simple, uncluttered reading of the New Testament. Bring it back to its basics. Thomas Campbell said, "We need to invite people to find common ground in a simple reading of the New Testament, which should help us to build unity among the churches, which in turn should lead us to focusing again on the mission of living the way of Jesus in our neighbourhood." And so our Churches of Christ story is not one of starting a new denomination in an attempt to compete with, for market share for those who are in the Christian faith. Churches of Christ have always considered themselves a movement, not a denomination. Seeking to move Christians to a New Testament practice of church, to move us back to working with God to save the lost. An early catch cry became, "We are Christians only, but we are not the only Christians." And they would work with Christians of all types in order to forward the mission of Jesus. And so in a strange kind of a way, the fact that here at Toowoomba North, this is a mixed bag of Christians from your background, from churches from all kinds of different denominations. We're doing the most Church of Christ thing we can be doing. And so we don't consider ourselves to be another denomination, but rather a movement of a group of people trying to practice what we see was the New Testament church within today's environment. I recently attended a citywide pastors' meeting here in town, and there was a certain group of pastors pushing for a united stand from all of the pastors for a greater acceptance of the work of the Holy Spirit, with the hope that this would initiate God's greater blessing upon the city. Now, it all sounded fine. As I was sitting there, I could see that this was actually creating division. And I spoke up, suggesting that for millennia, there has not been unity within the various churches and their understanding of the work and the role of the Holy Spirit. However, our unity is in Jesus Christ and in him alone, him as our Saviour. So let's focus on Jesus, I had to leave that meeting early, but I left them with that thought. And here at Toowoomba North, this is what we do. We focus on Jesus. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, love. So unity has always been one of the founding principles behind Churches of Christ, in line with Jesus' prayer in John 17. But a second founding principle is that of the priesthood of all believers. And this has been mentioned this morning, and Les mentioned it, not those exact words, but mentioned it in his prayer. That is, everyone needs to be involved where they can, as we are each able to minister to one another. The early founders of our movement lived at a time, again, when many of the churches had professional clergy, and they were the responsible for running the church and for defending the church's doctrine. In effect, this often meant that the various priests, ministers, and bishops did the majority of the religious work, whilst the congregation were largely passive and consumers. Even further than that was the idea that the clergy was somehow had a more direct line with God than everybody else could have, and therefore you needed to approach God through the clergy, through the pastor or the priest. Thomas Campbell again realised that the love and the grace of God is available to everyone. And regardless of personal situation or standing, all people could approach God directly through Jesus without the need to go through the priest or the clergy. That all believers were given gifts from the Holy Spirit, and everybody was able to minister one to the other. This doctrine was known as the priesthood of all believers, and it became an important distinctive for us. Churches of Christ reaffirm the teaching of Paul that every believer has a part to play in the body, and that everyone's contribution and giftedness given by the Holy Spirit is needed to fulfill our mission. And I love the fact that here you have lots of people involved leading and leading communion, leading the services, etc. It's all part of Churches of Christ. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul speaks about the body of Christ. And he wrote, "Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, well, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You might feel weaker, unimportant. You are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but rather that the members may have the same care for one another. No division in the body, but having the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. If you say that you don't belong, you do. And it's your faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour that unites you with other believers. We are united in Christ. We are his brothers and sisters, and we need each other to function as Jesus' body. And so, and when somebody moves on to another church, when someone moves on to another church, we remain brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't alter that. Doesn't change that. When one suffers, we all suffer. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And remember too that churches of Christ are but one part of Jesus' body. His church. Every congregation has a part to play in representing Christ, being his body, loving one another, and fulfilling the role that God has designed for each part to play. And as we experienced in our spring blessings, those of you who came along and shared in that beautiful day of our spring blessings, there are many parts to the body, each serving and ministering in differing and complementary ways, but some of those things that were happening here that day, providing music, free barbecue and morning tea, childcare, prayer, lots of different ways that people were serving, all to bless those who came and point them to Jesus. Every part serving God and our community, all for God's glory. And it was a great day. God has gifted us in specific ways in order that others might be drawn to him, just as he has gifted other churches to reach the lost in other ways. We're all working together, complementing one another for God's glory. Paul also wrote in verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 12, that each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it and everyone benefits. And as we read in Ephesians 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're working together to bless our community, but to bring God honour. There's a little children's story called Stone Soup. And maybe you know this story. Maybe you remember this story, Stone Soup. A passerby set up a big cooking pot in the middle of a village and he lit the fire underneath the pot. And there's nothing in it other than water and a couple of rocks. One of the villagers walks by and asks what he's doing, what he's making, and he says, stone soup. He ladles out a bit of the stone soup and he tastes it and he says, what we really need is some cabbage. Off the villager runs and comes back with some cabbage, throws it in. That's great. Later another villager walks by and he's told, what we could do with is some carrots. Away they go, come back, throw some carrots in. And you've probably guessed it, by the end of the day, the soup becomes this delicious simmering pot made of everyone's contributions and the entire village is fed and blessed. It's a simple little story that reminds us that we have something that we throw into the mix, something that God's given to us, and that's enough. It's enough. But it'll add to the overall flavour and experience. God has created us to come together and to form a beautiful community that it highlights what we've been given individually, but as it all comes together, we can contribute. May our unity in Christ result in the blessing of many, and may our unity in Christ result in Him receiving all the glory. Amen.